Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it was Pablo Picasso who said, "Art is the lie that enables us to realize the truth." In a political era where it's almost impossible to tell fact from fiction, we could use all the help we can get in discerning what's real. So let's all agree to go see some art this winter season, eh? And here to tell us what's out there not to miss in New York is WNYC's art critic, Deborah Solomon. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for that fabulous introduction. And also thank you, I want to quickly say, for your really brilliant election coverage and your coverage of its heartbreaking aftermath, heartbreaking for some of us. And you, I think you're really a great voice of reason in an age of deep unreason.
You're very kind. So let's talk about art. Mm-hmm. And Russia is hot in the news. I'll make the segue this way. Russia obviously hot in the news. Mm-hmm. But a show that's all about Russia is on view at MoMA through early March. It's called The Revolutionary Impulse, The Rise of the Russian Avant-Garde. And you said before you came on that this exhibit belongs in a category called Shows to Recharge Your Brain Cells. How so?
The timing is perfect because Russia is very much on our minds these days, and it's too bad we can't just go back to constructivism and suprematism and the era of Malevich. The Russian avant-garde flourished in 1917. We're just about to celebrate the centennial of the Russian Revolution, and there was a brief period, let's say 20 years, not that brief, I guess, when artists believed that they could really reform society, that all people could benefit from art, that it wasn't just for noblemen to put in castles or for oligarchs to put in their houses, that every person could benefit from looking at paintings. And that kind of utopian belief in art, that belief in art's centrality, has really never existed since. It went out of favor, of course, when Stalin came into power and art in Russia became propaganda. But to see this show is to really feel nostalgia, I think, for an era when people did believe in the social powers of art, and also to feel sadness about a future that never arrived.
So that's at MoMA.
And I just want to say one more thing about the show. What I love about it, I have to say this, that it has a lot of women artists in it, including
Russian avant-garde women artists.
Right. All the Ovas. Their names all end in Ova. You know this. Rosanova, Lydia Popova, Natalia Goncharova. And it's a real triumph of Ovas. It's great to see women such a large part in a show.
Great. Let's go through some more quickly because, unfortunately, our time is short. Moving uptown to another show that you say is not to be missed, one that a lot of people have been talking about is the Kerry James Marshall Show at the Met. What should we know about why that's making such a splash?
Kerry James Marshall, if you haven't seen it, please go see it. It's to me an incredible triumph because Kerry James Marshall is a black artist. He's 61. He lives in Chicago. And he first emerged in the 90s at a time when identity art was becoming popular. And people thought of identity art at that time as an excuse for banality and whining and special grievances. And they felt like it somehow tainted the higher point of art. You look at this show, these paintings are so gorgeous and so humorous and so virtuosic, and you realize that really the best art, I think the best art of the past generation, has come from artists who were kept down and who are exploring themes of identity in their work.
The Brooklyn Museum, on a similar note, has planned a series of shows under the rubric of A Year of Yes, Reimagining Feminism.
Mm-hmm.
What is the yes reference?
Well, yes is good in any context, isn't it? I'm all for yes. Better than a year of no. I think Marilyn Minter, the painter who's there now, is a must-see artist who came of age at the beginning of the feminist movement in the 1970s and has a lot to say. And I think that those who believe we're in a post-feminist era post-feminist era are totally deceived. And since the election and the defeat of Hillary, we're reminded that we all have to work harder for equality. It's a work in progress. It's not a finished work. And I congratulate the Brooklyn Museum for doing a year of shows devoted to the history of feminism.
And then if you're looking to get down and dirty, there's the Queens Museum show dedicated to the, how do you even say it, Muriel, forgive me for not being familiar with Muriel Lederman Euclides?
Euclides, exactly. Muriel Euclides.
Uh-huh.
And she's a genius. I mean, she has a show at the Queens Museum about the art of maintenance. She decided early in her career that that she was going to photograph herself in the act of cleaning, in the act of being a housewife, and exhibit the photographs as art. And in some sense, she belonged to the Duchampian tradition. Duchamp famously said at the beginning of the 20th century, art is what an artist says it is. What is art? It's anything an artist says is art, right? So she has decided that photographs of herself cleaning the floor are art, and they are. And they also make you aware that cleaning is really an act of incredible tenderness. Makes me think of the monkeys in the zoo. Did you ever watch primates picking, the mothers picking the fur of their babies?
Yeah.
Pulling off all those dead cell skins.
I've had that experience, cleaning up some of my own kids' stuff, even if they should have been doing it.
Right. So see it as an act of tenderness. Don't get angry about it.
Looking ahead to something that's not quite open yet, January 10th, you're excited, I see, about a show called Inventing Downtown, Artist-Run Galleries in New York City, 1952 to 65, at the Gray Art Gallery at NYU.
I can't wait. It's the first, I think, really important show of 2017. I say that without having seen it, of course. I might be wrong. But it explores the whole era of artist-run galleries. And it's a very romantic period when artists supported one another before we had these big mega galleries. And it's a scene that has largely been lost to history in some ways because artists didn't write the histories of those galleries. So I think it will offer us a view of a hidden New York that will be very moving.
Another show opening at the Met is Marsden Hartley's Maine. Now, this was a guy who was friends with some European heavyweights like Kandinsky, Franz Marc, an expat Gertrude Stein. But these paintings depict America, Maine to be exact.
I know. Marsden Hartley is one of my favorite painters. And he was an American, of course, from the early part of the 20th century. I am really looking forward to this show. It's nice that it's at the Met instead of the Whitney Museum of American Art, because I think it gives him a largeness, an international largeness that he deserves.
And I guess we can't not mention the Whitney Biennial, which opens March 17th.
It's the first biennial in the Whitney's new building. So the question is, can the building, which everyone loves, save the biennial, which is famous for being hated by everyone? So that will be an interesting collision to look forward to in March.
Do you know any particulars?
No, I try not to.
And there's going to be a big Rauschenberg retrospective, Robert Rauschenberg, at MoMA.
I'm very excited about that. It opens in May. It's a ways off. But I think that assemblage is one of the great traditions in American art. It started in Europe with Schwitters, who picked up bus tickets off the floor, made collages. But it really reached its apogee in New York because we understand trash.
We started with a Picasso quote, so we'll end with a Rauschenberg quote. Said he wanted to work, quote, in the gap between art and life, suggesting he questioned the distinction between art objects and everyday objects, reminiscent of the issues raised by The Fountain, by Dada pioneer Marcel Duchamp. But in a world where it's hard to distinguish between reality television and reality, are statements like this a foregone conclusion now?
No. I think that you know, we turn to art, especially now, to escape the moment. Art, to me, is about getting away from the headlines, which are such an assault on our values and also on our nervous systems. I think many of us really feel emotionally ragged these days. And when I read, and right now I'm reading in the Existentialist Cafe, or when I go to an art show, it provides, I feel physically relieved to be leaving this moment and moving to another moment and being reminded that there are other worlds and other values.
And we have to leave it there with that high-minded thought from WNYC art critic Deborah Solomon. By the way, folks, we have some paintings on our website from some of the upcoming exhibits that she's talked about. Some visuals, you can check them out at wnyc.org. Deborah, always a pleasure. Thanks for the previews.
Thank you, Brian.